Welcome to the Anand Ashram podcast. For those of you who don't know, Anand Ashram is an organization founded in 1991 by our guru, Anand Krishna. One earth, one sky, one humankind is our vision. In this podcast, we will discuss everything from self-empowerment, mental health, spirituality through the eyes of yoga and meditation. In this episode, Anand Krishna is joined by Ma Archana, leader of the Meditation, Ayurveda, and Yoga Association of Indonesia. Also, international actress and musician Monica Dogra. Let's tune into their conversation with Anand Krishna.
Namaste. Welcome back to our channel. This channel is dedicated for those who are spiritual seekers wanting to know more about yourself, self-knowledge. You're at the right channel. And this is a lovely episode because we are now here accompanied by our special guest, a dear friend, Monica Dogra, who is an international artist. She is here right now shooting with us in this beautiful island of the gods, Bali, Indonesia. And of course, we're here accompanied by Guruji. Pranam, Guruji.
Namaste.
Namaste, Monica.
Pranam.
You've been here for how many...
This trip was only four, but I came for a week last time. And now Bali five times
in 4 months. Well, you must enjoy Bali so much that you've been coming back and back again.
Yeah, I believe this, I feel like this land has a, well, I think I was led to Guruji, actually, ultimately, but it took me a little time.
So the universe is like guiding you to finally come here and meet Guruji.
And meet you.
And then it's a blessing that we all can meet together. So what is it lately that you have running on your mind?
So I've been listening to Guruji's talks, and a subject that always runs me into walls is the examination of free will within my life, dharma, what I'm meant to do, and then also this, in your last talk, Guruji said one must just surrender. And especially right now with the current climate in the world, we have coronavirus, we have so much political uproar, that there's a larger destiny for the world that's at work, and you can see that. Everything's burning, it feels. But then how, is there a map? Is there like a rule book that you can refer to for what, how you're meant to respond in situations? How active should one be? How much should you participate? Can surrender just be laziness? You know, if everyone's like, oh, I surrender to the will of the universe, you know, the world is burning, I'm just going to keep pumping my AC and, you know, looting and trashing the earth. But then you can go deeper with that and just look at my own, your own life and your own destiny. It seems to me like once you feel like you have no answers and you're so lost that the easy thing to do is surrender.
And this is an interesting topic because I think this is not only your question, I think a lot of people are also asking the same question. So now, what do you think, Guruji?
I think first of all, we have to define our role. We have to know what is our role in a given situation, in a given situation. So the role can change from time to time. You can be in a role of observer, and you can be in a role of active participant. Mm-hmm. So from time to time, our role is changing. Now, based on that changing role at a given time, how you should approach life, this is the core question. This is the most important question. And then free will, in a sense that I would define free will as how to do something. It's like how to do manual. That is not given the book, but it is in your mind. And then you have to decide using your finest intelligence, how to approach your role. There you have free will. But this is a very limited free will, like just you mentioned Corona. Who thought that this will be there? This outbreak will come all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And for all that we know, this outbreak was perhaps from September, October, which was never published. We just came to know in what, December, January or something?
Yes, but actually coronavirus has been there since the
1960s. Yes. But the different grades, okay, this particular coronavirus that they now say COVID-19, it's just one type of coronavirus. And if you see the statistics, there are like 25,000 deaths a year in the United States alone because of influenza. 25,000 deaths because of influenza, and this is just influenza. So at a given time, what is your role? There you have a free will to decide what should be your role. You should actively participate and do something, or you would rather sit back and just be an observer. But being an observer is also a role. The scientists are just observers actually. But because of their observation, other scientists, another group of scientists, they try to find the vaccine or something. So it's changing.
Do you mean like mm-hmm. one can only really see a situation from the outside of it?
Yes, from the above. It's like having a drone,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
Having a drone, and then you have a bird's eye view, what we call bird's eye view. And then you know exactly where the problem is. Mm. If you are actively participating, you may not know that. Mm. There should be someone to guide you.
So someone has to make a distance.
Yes.
And
yes.
Can see the over
yes.
holistically, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is what Krishna was doing to Arjuna. He was overseeing things. But Arjuna was made to play his role. So Krishna was not without any role. So we had to find our role. Where do we stand?
That's so interesting, because with everything that's happening in India politically right now, it feels like the energy of the one who wants power is very keen on creating sides. And when you describe becoming the observer, you have a relationship with both sides
exactly.
in order to see the whole picture,
exactly.
which is a very difficult thing to do when things are going wrong. You have the victim and then the oppressor, you know, and you have to choose which side you want to stand on. But actually, when I observe what's happening in India right now, politically, there's so much division, Hindus against Muslims, you know, BJP against Aam Aadmi Party, just there are so many sides mm-hmm. that both have, I mean, as controversial as this may sound, but everything has a good side and a bad side. Each side has a good side and a bad side.
Yes. No, the interesting thing is today's oppressor can become a victim tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And today's victim can become an oppressor. Mm. And this is going on, this cycle of vendetta.
So how do you get out of this cycle?
We need a Krishna to see the thing.
So
where is we don't have Krishna at this moment. Everybody is fighting for a limited cause.
We have Krishna, Anand Krishna. Yeah.
That's in Anand Ashram, yes. Mm-hmm. But on a bigger scale, we need a thinker. We don't have a thinker. Mm. You're talking about India. Mm. We don't have a thinker. We have so many gurus. Mm. But they are participating, whether they say or no.
No, they are.
They are participating.
They're picking sides.
Exactly. So we need a thinker, somebody like Krishna who is telling Arjuna, look, you have your own weak points also. Pandavas are not all good people. Mm-hmm. One is a gambler, one is a playboy, one is all muscles but no head, you know. Mm. Bhima and Nakulsa Dev is okay,
pretty
not
voice.
Much role. Yeah, but but, you know, in spite of that, Krishna is saying, okay, if I have to choose, that was a question between Krishna and Balaram, his brother. Mm. Balaram said, look, we are related to both sides. And if you think that Pandavas are good, no, they have their own weak points. Who told them to
gamble
and to put their wife at stake, you know, that was not needed. So Krishna is saying, look, you are talking about relationship and all that, but I'm talking about dharma. Between these two groups, if I have to choose, with all the blemishes, all the weak points, I must choose Pandava. For the benefit, for the welfare of others.
But he's choosing.
He's choosing.
Yeah.
He's choosing. But his criteria is not relationship, it's not that blind follower, I'm becoming a bhakta. No. He is reminding Arjuna that, look, I'm here on this battlefield to uphold dharma. If you don't play your role, there'll be somebody else to play your role. He's not concerned about Arjuna. Okay, Arjuna was groomed for that, but otherwise, if Arjuna had run away, Krishna would have found somebody else.
So when you define dharma, is it essentially the role that a being plays in the larger cosmic dance?
Sure.
Everything's moving there anyway.
Anyway, yes.
With or without your participation.
Sure.
But in a sense, you're created to participate in this way.
Sure.
So what happens when you go against your dharma? Can you go against your dharma?
You can go. You can go against your dharma, and then you'll be in the recycle mode. You'll come back again and again. Finally, you have to find your dharma. Interestingly, look at it. If we consider Dwapar Yuga as a better yuga than Kali Yuga, Krishna was a harbinger to Kali Yuga. He ushered in Kali Yuga.
That's true. If you look at it that way.
Yeah. His death was the beginning of Kali Yuga. So there's a greater picture.
Picture, yeah. It's bigger a scenario, picture. A bigger scenario.
So then, from a householder in the world perspective of these things, so one could say that coronavirus or the political unrest or even the natural calamities that are happening in the world are a part of the larger dharma of the world.
The world. This is what in our Puranas is depicted as the Samudra Manthan, the churning of the ocean. And when you churn the ocean, first things to come out from this ocean are poisons, poisonous things. Finally there comes healing, Dhanvantri. Dhanvantri is the god of wisdom, the god of medicine. And he comes from this churning of ocean. But before he comes, there are poisons which must be taken, consumed by Shiva.
You were always mentioning that if a part of our body has tumor, it has to be taken out.
Exactly.
Or amputated or something.
Exactly.
So this is what's happening.
This is what is happening. But in spite of that, having said that, what is my role at this moment?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, my role. So we have to find our role at this moment. Oh. This churning is going on. If you think you should speak up, speak up. If you think you should be a thinker, think, observe, and then you make others execute, then you do that. So it depends on your role.
That's one of the things that I was thinking, you know, during the protests actually, that often a common narrative that you would find amongst people, activists particularly, they'd be like, you know, I'm out on the streets, I'm fighting. Mm-hmm. And you're just sitting in your studio writing a song, or you're just, you know, you're just doing this thing that seems as if it doesn't contribute. And my argument was, human beings are so varied and interesting, and we're such individuals with different talents, that I'm happy if a baker is baking a cake, according to what our value systems are, that everything has its place and what comes naturally to you. But somewhere, Guruji, I feel like people have lost that feeling of believing that they have a role, period, that they make a difference.
True. And pride in that role, having a pride in that role, that whatever little I can do it in an excellent way. That's what Krishna said. Mm-hmm. Follow your own dharma, although it is full of blemishes, it is weak, it is not, bringing the result that you have in your mind, still follow your own potential. So if you have potential as a singer, then sing.
Yeah, and then you can, even in your studio, you can make songs that is related to what is your concern, what about your concern, what's happening. Because if we look back to history, there are many, many, I mean, revolution starts with songs.
With songs.
Like Anand Math.
Yes.
Anand Math.
The Vande Mataram.
Vande Mataram started with song.
Dear friends, what new insights have you gained thus far? Share with us your thoughts at Anand Ashram on Instagram, Inquisit and subscribe to Anand Ashram YouTube channel. For even more information, visit www.anandashram.asia.
But is that a trap? Can one then begin to feel, to identify with their ego? Is it egoistic to think that something that you do may make a difference?
Yes, it is ego. It is ahamkar, surely.
Ahamkar.
Ahamkar is ego, I-ness. So I-ness, this whole world, this whole creation is based on I-ness. Now we have to expand this I-ness. Your I includes me or no? My I includes you and Archana or no? So we have to keep on expanding this I until it blasts, you know, it's like a balloon. You keep on putting air into it, I add you in my I, I add her, I add Eddie who is shooting us today.
But how can you add the enemy?
Why?
How can you add someone who hurts you?
They are already part of you. In fact, those who hurt you, they are already part of you.
Without us realizing it.
In fact, it's difficult for me to add people who are good to me because that has to be conscious effort. But those who are enemy, those who are hurting me, they have become part of me.
From a philosophical perspective, I completely agree, but that's easy to say when someone is not beating you.
Well, we have experienced that.
I know.
We experienced that.
I can just hear the voices of all the people that I speak to online, you know, speaking of my privilege, and that it's easy to wax poetics
exactly.
About expanding your consciousness to include other people and be compassionate. But it's different when your children are dying, and it's different
true,
when you're
true,
a part of
true,
the religious group true. Being persecuted.
Being compassionate, like what Archana said, that sometime out of compassion I must perform a surgery.
A surgery?
Yeah.
Of the extraction of the tumor?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's part of
that's actually the Bhagavad Gita in
exactly.
a way.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that is being part of compassion, is being compassionate also. Being compassionate is not to keep smiling for no reason, you know, mm-hmm. okay, you can hurt me, you slap me on one cheek, I give you another cheek, you know, that's not the idea of being compassionate. If somebody is hurting me, harming me, and I don't mind it, fine, but I must also do something to ensure that it does not repeat the same thing with others. So that is being responsibly compassionate. I have no hatred for that person, but I also make sure that he doesn't do the same thing to others.
It's interesting what Dalai Lama, His Holiness Dalai
yes,
Lama was
yes.
mentioning.
He said forgive but don't forget.
Don't forget. Basically, you can forgive of all the things that people have done to you, but it does not mean that they will escape from their doings. So they have to pay also for what they're doing, but no hatred.
This is what somebody, a journalist, was asking him that you're against China, you're standing against China. I said, yes, because they have done things to my people, but I have no hatred. And personally, when I met him, he told me that every day, every morning, he has to do Tonglen meditation. By the way, it's out of this context, but that meditation comes from Indonesia, from Sumatra. Mm-hmm. Was taken to India and Tibet by one Bengali scholar called Atisha. And that meditation is about taking all the negativity, taking it to your heart, physical heart, and to process it,
recycle it.
So it's the same energy. Negative energy can be so strong, so much more stronger. I mean, I was in the jail for 1.5 year and I finished so many books, 10 or 15 books I must have written. So that was a great energy, that was anger. I was not writing out of compassion, no, I was being angry.
But I love what you said in your book about anger having its place, when you wrote about Jesus throwing the tables over
true.
With all the money collectors in the church.
True.
I can relate to that.
Yes.
And I think I say this sometimes when I describe my seeking, that there's like a almost like a spiritual hierarchy of emotions of what's acceptable and unacceptable, and you just decide that showing anger is an unacceptable emotion for someone who's on the path to enlightenment, you know. And it's hard to not be angry, at least for me right now. You know, I see how we've damaged the planet. Sure. I see animals die, and now with the internet we have so much access to all this information. These beautiful books of wisdom from various faiths seem to be used as weapons now to control people and justify killing and justify war, which has been happening.
Yeah. For the last
five, how many?
2,000
years. Yeah. And it makes me angry. And then I confront this place of being a faithful person and seeing that maybe there is a global dharma of something that's happening and we're all a part of it. Is there really nothing that I can do? And then I go back to the free will question, and I want to be on ground, and I want to help. I want to make a difference. It also makes me feel like my life is only worth living if I do something.
Exactly. But you know, again, there, swadharma means that you know your potential, you know your skill, so you don't jump into somebody's role. If somebody is protesting on the street, is it my dharma? Am I good at that? If it is better for you to be in a studio and to create songs, to compose songs and to put them on YouTube, perhaps that's your dharma and you can reach more people.
And you put your message across there. Because if you end up on the streets and that is not your swadharma and you get hurt, all the ideas, all the message that you have inside will just go with you. It's futile. So Guruji always has this term, like when he explained about Jesus' wrath, anger, and the
temple. Yeah.
He calls it as divine anger. So it's not just like this cathartic anger that we normally, you know, indulge it in everyday life. But this is different kind of anger that becomes the motor, the engine, the fuel to do something much greater than maybe we've never done before.
Yeah, and again, it was for the greater good.
Exactly.
Greater good.
That's dharma.
That's what Gita's central message, which has been overlooked, is the word, one word, loka samgraha, for the benefit, for the welfare of collectivity. For entire loka. Mm-hmm.
So because you're in a studio writing songs, not the intention like I'm gonna make money out of this songs that I'm making. No, it's to express your true self about facing what's happening, your concern.
Look at these videos. I mean, we are spending quite some money.
Right.
We don't get funded by anybody, you know, the editing and this. We don't have equipment, so we have to outsource for editing and all that. So it takes money, but I'm happy with this, you know.
Yeah, because this
I'm
is
happy
our
with
way.
This because this is our way.
This is our way.
I got this tattoo.
Yes.
All this is worship.
What is it?
All this is worship.
Good.
To remind me that even drinking water can be worship.
Yes.
That even cutting grass can be worship. Even, you know, getting dressed in the morning can be worship.
True.
If you offer it back. And that's something, again, the conversation always goes back to what can I do? What can I do? I feel like I can't do anything. All these calamities, they're so much larger than me. I can't do anything. What can I do? So what I'm hearing from both of you is that you identify, again, it goes back to self-knowledge, knowing yourself.
Atma-bodh, to know yourself. And then from that, you know yourself, and then you know your potential. Swadharma, atma-bodh is the first step to know yourself. And you know swadharma, you know your potential, your skill. It's a very basic thing, you know. You do something which is not according to your skill, you cannot perform well.
Mm-hmm. Guruji, there's another question also. You were talking about limited free will. Mm-hmm. So I would like you to elaborate more on that limited free will. And another thing, like you on all this jumbled up situation, there should be a Krishna or someone who can see, oversee everything. But the problem is, now the situation is everyone is all there, and not everyone can just say, oh, okay, I have to step back and then see the whole thing.
That Krishna's role has to be played by someone. But Krishna will not speak until and unless Arjuna talks about his own problems.
So there's supposed to be an Arjuna also.
Arjunas are all, this is what I was writing on my blog, that there are so many Arjunas perhaps, but there is no Krishna. And even if Krishna is there, then Arjuna is not asking, because Arjuna thinks that I know everything.
Yeah, there's definitely an intellectual arrogance that's pervasive in the modern world. Everyone who's very smart isn't humbly smart. There's an arrogance to the intelligence that runs me. I don't identify as intelligent, but I identify as instinctual. I have intuition. That's pretty strong. But when I engage in debates with intellectuals, I just get exhausted. I don't
know. We have a term for that. Maybe it's a bit harsh. We call it intellectual masturbation.
I think.
Or it's provocative.
I was getting signed. We got 2-3 minutes left.
Oh, okay.
Maybe here. Yeah. We have to continue after this. Maybe the next episode. Yes. Intelligence, that's what our understanding is. Instinct is based on your limited conditioned mind. Whatever data you have got in your mind, based on that you can become instinctive. Yeah. Now, intuition is something when you identify yourself with the consciousness, and there you are limitless.
That's what
you want, exactly. We are on the same page.
So we have to continue, and then
next episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Anand Ashram Podcast. We hope that this has been an enlightening experience. Follow, share, and join us again soon for another episode. May all creatures be happy.